that second chance still blows me away. My Lord, I will be thine always. I may go far, farther than the stars, but I will be thine always. When I die, look into my eyes. They will mutely say, I will be thine always. My Lord, I will be thine always. You know, around Robert, Sundays were nonsense satsangs, just for entertainment. And we listened, but we weren't there for his words. We were there for his presence. And there was very little presence of Robert. He was mostly absent. When I was 12 or 13, I first read the book In the Woods of God Realization by Christopher Wood. And that's when I really began my spiritual search, which later on in years by became a search for truth. It crystallized not around bhakti, but a search for truth. And I just finished a master's program in public management in Cleveland, Case Western Reserve. And I was working in a building overlooking Lake Erie with the boats going by, doing population projections for 88 counties in Santa Monica, or not in Santa Monica, in Cleveland, 88 municipalities in the standard metropolitan statistical area of Cleveland. And boy, I was at an incredibly dull job doing population projections of 88 municipalities for the next 20 years. Just various kinds of mathematical models that had to be reconciled. And I knew I couldn't stand this life anymore. There's no truth in it. There's no truth in the way we had lied to the feds about the size of the population of Cleveland down the line in order to get monies. Nobody really cared about the truth. It was all politics. Most jobs are that way. Or at least most government jobs are that way. When I was in Detroit, I was at Wayne State University, and I applied for a job near when I was a PhD candidate. And I was working for General Motors. And I found out the job was in their tank division. They were going to build the M60 tank then, used in the Vietnamese War. And my job, should I accept it, would be to try to guess what the government specs would be for that tank, as opposed to finding the best one possible. It was outguessing the government. And that's what jobs are about, generally. They call for continuous compromise. And I got a book at 18, or I was 1968, Who Am I? A couple other books, and started my real spiritual journey. I had fucked around for many years before coming to that point, seeing the uselessness and the hopelessness of academia, of jobs. And I knew very well what I should be doing, and that was self-inquiry. And I practiced self-inquiry beginning in 1968 very seriously, 10, 12 hours a day, going inside looking for who I am. But I want to tell you a secret now. This is so important. And the secret is, the mess that you are in now, the Maya, the confusion, the lack of understanding who you really are, of attaining God, is because you are in your minds. the mind. You think too much, just like I did. I had the right method, the right intent in 1968. I practiced it for 2 years. And then I started practicing Zen on the West Coast with Sasaki Roshi and got lost in Zen with all of its koans. And then I got lost in Muktananda and all of its koans. I had 4 Zen teachers at the same time. My mind was busy, 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 trying to figure all these things out. Busy, busy, busy. I was going with my Zumi at the time. Teacher that I was living at his center, what was his name? Tianan. He was a bishop in the Zen Church of Vietnam. Then there was Song Ryong Hearn and Sun San Sunim. They all came from various different traditions within the Zen tradition. Each one had a different teaching. And all of us were going to many different teachers trying to struggle to find out, well, what's the truth? Everybody had a variation on the truth. We didn't trust any teacher enough to listen just to that teacher. We didn't settle down. And I wandered in confusion for many, many years until I gave it up. By the late 80s, I had given up spirituality. It had gone dry, the search. Self-inquiry wasn't there anymore. It had all been lost because I got diverted by so many different teachings and so many different teachers. Then I met Robert, and I knew I had found my teacher. But it still took me 3 years before I trusted him. San Sanim used to say, you think too much. You got to become stupid like a rock. Robert said to me, I think I know why you haven't awakened yet after being with him for 3 years. Because you're too smart. I had a very strong mind. I was used to understanding everything, mathematics, atomic theory, nuclear theory, all that, cosmology. And I was relying on that one instrument that had always given me understanding before, which is the mind. But it's the mind that's constructed this mess that you're all in, and I was in. The Bible says, be still and know that you are God. That's all you have to do. Become stupid like a rock. Whatever experience presents itself, you become empty and let that experience take you over and go through you. You don't try to figure it out. You don't try to compare with one teacher said, with another teacher said. All of you have so many conceptions about teachers and spirituality. All of you are trying to teach me what real spirituality is like. You know, if I hadn't been so fucking smart and smart-alecky and filled with myself and trusted my mind so much instead of trusting my direct experience of reality without the mind interfering, I could have attained when I was 25. But my mind kept getting in the way because I trusted my mind and I didn't trust a teacher. I trusted the method of in self-inquiry, but I lost it by all these other teachers saying that's no good, that's a bad way. Instead, try my way. And I tried their way, and I got lost. One teacher, one method. If I had only been more simple-minded and not trusted my mind so much. You see, inside of you, you're already enlightened. That deepest level of self within you, the one you wake up with in the morning before any thinking comes, where everything is so fresh and open, at least if you get enough sleep. Base consciousness. That's you. Everything else is added on a moment later when the mind arises. When the Shakti fills up the brain and creates the world. The world of concepts. The first awakening most people have is when they see that the world that they've been living in is not real. It's a network of thinking, of learned thoughts, learned behaviors, concepts. It's all concepts. And when you see this, you laugh and you laugh and you laugh because you see the world that you've lived in is an illusion, a bunch of concepts that hang together with other concepts, that hang together with other concepts. And the central concept is I. And when there's no I, there's only emptiness. And when there's only emptiness, there's only space, inner space and outer space, and they're both the same. But it's your mind. And you have so many concepts about spirituality, about living, about morality. Give them up. Don't know, mind. Stupid as a rock mind. I used to think, you know, I made this discovery over and over and over again. And I said, how can being as dumb as a dog help me find God or find ultimate truth? How can being stupid and not using my mind, how can that give me truth? But truth is not in the mind. Truth is deeper than the mind. Truth is deeper than emotions. Truth is deeper than the world. And it flows continuously once the mind goes. Truth is the real world is deeper. He, as some refer to it, is deeper than the ecstasies. It's deeper than bliss. It's deeper than the energies. All these are sustained by that ultimate emptiness, which you are. You have to be good for nothing. Really accept that you're less than dirt at the feet of someone else. No understanding, utter humility. When I was with Robert, I didn't have that humility. I loved being the right-hand man of my guru, my teacher. It was a role I played. Filled my ego. Robert kept trying to destroy it by talking behind my back, telling everybody what a nutcase I am. So they reacted to me as a nutcase to keep my ego at bay. So it didn't get too out of hand. But it's hard to be the right-hand man of your guru and not feel some sense of pride in it, some sense of power and control. That's one of the problems. It's better to be a nothing at some teacher's feet. And somewhere in the background, like Robert always said. He was always in the background when he visited teachers. Not right at their feet. There's so many of these teachers that have websites. If they go around and visit another teacher, they're right there at the teacher's feet or next to him on a chair, next to him as an equal. So much pride. But if you're humble, really all that you do is you seek grace when you're with the teacher. Not even the words are important. Concepts are not important. Nisargadatta had only one concept that he said guided him, which is his teacher, Siddha Rameshwar, said, "You are not the body. You have nothing to do with the body." And he says that was his guiding concept. And with that, he had another concept, find the I am. And he spent 3 years doing that. 9 months before he found the I am. Another 2 years before he awakened, when the I Am released him. It's very simple. No complexity. Just two concepts. You are not your body. You're not your mind. You're not the personality. Neti, neti, neti. And the other concept was to go into the I Am, find out what that I is, which is the same thing as self-inquiry. It's a form of self-inquiry, of looking into this inside, into your presence, into that sense of existence, holding on to it, letting it expand, loving it. You know, it's so easy to love yourself once you can find yourself. Look inside, find your sense of presence. And love it. Love your sense of presence. That love will grow and grow and grow. And if you're lucky enough, you have somebody outside you can love. And that love fills you and fills your sense of presence. Filling yourself with love is so easy if there's somebody outside you love. Then you can feel yourself as loved and as ecstasy. But even that's a trap. Filled with Shakti. Shakti becomes the focus, not you. The perceiver and experiencer of the Shakti. The vital force, the vital breath. So easy to get distracted by the mind and by experiences, by love, by hate, and everything can be a distraction from that utter inner emptiness with peace beyond understanding, the ultimate silence from which everything comes. You know, you create the entire universe every time you wake up in the morning. Your consciousness creates the entire universe. The consciousness that comes out of your body and mind creates the entire universe. And then the mind gives it form, gives it substance, gives it depth. And soon you wake up and you're living in this world of illusion, and it seems real. But what you are, which is emptiness, that perceives all of this. None of this touches you. But you get absorbed in the drama, in the books, in the search, in the experiences, in the knowledge. Just give up. Just look. I guess the principal concept I'd say to you is that you not are not of this world. You are beyond it. You're the witness of it. All the drama that comes with spiritual seeking, that involves the I am, not you. The first step is to disengage from your body as the seat of your belief in yourself, to become identified with the I am, with consciousness, in which consciousness of the body is a small part. Then you see you are not the body. And eventually you see you're not even consciousness. See consciousness coming and going. You see waking consciousness coming and going, sleeping consciousness coming and going, dream consciousness coming and going, and none of it touches you. You see one day you're beyond it. I think they called in Zen the man of no rank. The unborn is another term used. Because it's not born in this world. What's born is the I am sense. Everything you see, hear, taste, touch, understand is in consciousness, is in the I am. And it's very entertaining. And I entertained myself from the time I was 12 or 13 to 1995, which would make me, what, too hard to figure, 50? I entertained myself for 38 years with all these concepts and books. And I absolutely ran out of gas. In the 80s, utterly frustrated, utterly lost, because I had trusted my mind. Good part is now, I know that there's a better guide than the mind, and that's the heart. This is my new direction that I've been teaching. Follow your heart. But that can easily be confused with following your mind and your inclinations. The heart is unerring. It loves the I am. It loves the I am in other people. It's compassionate. It's highly accurate. It's highly motivating, the Shakti. It can take you till you've filled yourself with love for the I am. And then you see it's you that loves the I am. That you love the show that I am is putting on. The I am that is born from your body, which you identify with the body. But you have nothing to do with it. This way of love, the bhakti way, is so much harder than the way I followed. It's more intense, it's more gripping, and it's unerring. It's got so much power. But the mind is always there, ready to fuck it up. Can we have in the temple of silence, so we know what silence is like? And then, oh God, beautiful, so we know where God is. You know, I play chanting a lot, because chanting can just still the mind and fill you with bliss, fill you with ecstasy. That was how I discovered my own way after Robert left. After Robert left town, was just to lay on a couch and listen to Muktananda chanting and Yogananda chanting. And I became filled with happiness and bliss. Anybody who says you can't learn to love really has no idea. Yes, love can happen to you, but you can foster it and build it. You can fill yourself with ecstasy just by listening to the chanting. But I read forward in Prior to Consciousness a couple of pages. There's a lot of stuff in between, but I thought this one was really appropriate for tonight. It's July 26, 1980, and I have a note here. Stupid like a rock. Questioner asked Maharaj, I have come to Maharaj in the hope that he may help me put an end to this search. Maharaj, can you communicate to me what you have understood? Questioner, it's all concepts, all illusion. Maharaj, yes. Questioner, I don't believe in processes that take time and disciplines. I've done all that. I want it to end. Maharaj, the basic fact that you are not the body must be clear to you by now. You are working in the world and you think you are doing work. But what is really happening is this. The life force, when it comes out in thoughts and words, is the mind. So it is this prana, mind, life force, mind, which is the acting principle. The beingness, the consciousness, is the God which witnesses the life force and mind working. The beingness, the consciousness, is the God which witnesses the life force and mind working. The I am working. The prana, the shakti working. It does not interfere. It merely witnesses. The reason for your unhappiness is that you think it is you that are working. You identify, in other words, with the work in progress, with the shakti, with the vital force, with the actions, with the activity, with the thinking. The questioner, I realize that anything I say is a concept arising out of my consciousness. Maharaj, that you are and the world is are both concepts. You must know that. Questioner, how does this knowledge work? I mean, you tell me words and there comes a sense of understanding. Is this a mental process? Is there still a faculty witnessing all this? Maharaj, the mind understands because of the consciousness. Questioner, then it's all an automatic happening. Maharaj, that is true. The mind interprets whatever the concept is. The base is consciousness on which the concept arises at the moment. Questioner, so what is there actually to attain if you cannot change this consciousness and you cannot reach it by words? It is there all the time, right now. So for what are we here? Why are we here? Doing belongs to the mind. That is clear. It is going on like an automation. I clearly see now. I want the mind to surrender to the consciousness. Do you understand? Maharaj, all this conceptualizing, all this articulation has been taking place only after the original concept arose that you are, I am. All this conceptualizing that we are all going through, the spiritual search, the thinking, all this conceptualizing, all this talk, articulation, has been taking place only after the original concept, which you are, I am, arose that you are. What was the position before this concept arose? At that time, did you have any concepts, any needs? before this original concept, I am, arose, did you have any concepts, any needs whatsoever? In other words, before you started thinking, what were you? Was there any bother there whatsoever? Was there any distress? Was there any anxiety? Was there any passion? Was there anything human before this original concept, I am, arose? And the questioner says, you mean like deep sleep? Maharaj, this concept that it is like deep sleep is not incorrect, but it is still a concept. In other words, the guy's got the idea, but it's still an idea for him. He hasn't fleshed it out with an experience. But it's still a concept, and the original state is beyond concepts. In other words, conceptually he grasped it, but you don't have that state yet. You don't own it. The questioner asks, what is the fact now? Maharaj, that you are awake is itself a concept at this moment. Let this sink in. The questioner, it's like a movie. Maharaj, go back to the source. Before the concept of beingness, I am, arose, what was your state? I don't know. That which you don't know, that is the right state. That which you don't know, that is the right state. Everything that comes after this consciousness is attained is like a dose of salt. It is useless. Consciousness is useless. So the search, all aspects of it belong, the questioner says, so the search, all aspects of it belongs to the same? Maharaj, throw away every thought. Throw away every experience. Throw away everything that happens after this consciousness has come. Other than throwing it away as useless, there is nothing to be done beyond the firm understanding in which you become more and more absorbed. Beyond this firm understanding in which you become more and more absorbed. In other words, what he was just saying, you are the witness. The I am arises and suddenly all the concepts arise and then you become a human being. But what were you before this original concept I am arose? This is what you have to become absorbed in. He's keeping to pointing you to that state before the mind arose. Now, one thing about the way of bhakti, of loving, is it focuses all your energy on one point, on loving. Whether it's loving somebody else or loving yourself or being filled with love, it's one-pointedness. It's a meditation, just like any other meditation, with or without objects. Until the love goes from object to one's own self, one's own sense of presence, and becomes formless, which is a higher form of meditation than one-pointedness with an object. Now it's one-pointedness with no object, just love itself, which is spread everywhere throughout your sense of presence and pervades you, becomes blissful, becomes ecstasy, and you're in ecstatic states, and you become absorbed in the ecstatic states. But then you begin to realize even these ecstasies are not you. They don't touch down to your basic core. They permeate you, but still, it's you that is permeated. You're still untouched by the ecstasy. You're having the ecstasy. You're having the bliss, but you're separate. The ecstasy is in consciousness. It's an object. You as the subject are beyond all experiences. July 21, 1980. Questioner, why did I take this form? Maharaj, because you were a fool. If you had known anything about it, you would have not come into this world. Questioner, first I didn't have any form, isn't that so? Yes, even now you don't have any form. It is not your shape. It is the shape of the seed. That which has form is consciousness, not you. The seed, which is the I am. Questioner, isn't it the nature of the seed that it grows like a tree grows out of a seed? Yes, that is its nature. So I am not to blame. The seed must be foolish. Maharaj, because the seed is foolish, it has come like this. The seed is the original foolish state. Yet what big titles are given to that seed, which is the I am? The seed is transient and the whole world is filled with seeds. All the five elements, all the objective world is in that seed. You are not the seed. You are observer of the seed. The world is filled up with selfishness due to your associations with the body. Once you know what these principles are, then you dissolve the personality, and in the process that selfishness vanishes because you are no more an individual. Well, that's the reading for today.